All right, this podcast is brought to you by LifeWork Bookkeeping Solutions, LLC. Call 610-324-6895. Bookkeeping for professionals and small business owners, personal finances, QuickBooks training. Give them a call. Thanks. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February the 7th, 2023. Hope everyone's having a great day. I am so far so good. Little sick. Got me. Everybody around me has been sick, and I started to even think crazy thoughts, like maybe I am immune to getting sick, right? Maybe I am special. No, I am not. Started feeling a little shitty yesterday. Actually, I feel okay. It's sort of one of those I sound worse than I feel. I don't feel that bad. It's kind of in my nose. Slept pretty good last night. I've had this, you know, I know the routine. Today's going to be kind of a crappy day. Probably a lot of nose blowing. Off tomorrow. Supposed to run tomorrow with James, but I think I'm going to have to pass. Just because I don't want to get sicker. So, but I think it's like allergies. It's definitely something in my nose, but I'll be fine. We'll get through it. No big deal. But it is inevitable. Everybody around me, I swear to God, has been sick. Even my middle son, Sam, he's sick again. It's just one of those weird, never-ending loops that sometimes we get caught up in. But it was inevitable. And so, bear with me. Hopefully I don't sound too terrible. Like I said, I sound worse than I feel. But yeah, so today is Tuesday. I'm back to work, off yesterday. Great weekend. I think I shared last week, in-laws, family coming in town. A lot of fun, you know. Always a good time. A little inconvenient, right? Because you're always dealing with other people. And I think ideally we'd prefer to, you know, kind of be at home alone. And we're those people. We're not big social people. I think we re-energize through solace, through alone time instead of around people. But I personally, and my wife and I are a little different like that. She definitely likes, I won't say isolation, but just kind of separation. Not a lot of people. I do enjoy family and friends to come over and hang out. Not forever, right? Not forever, but just for a little time. And we got to do that this weekend, which was great. In-laws from Connecticut came down. Big fans of them. Love them. Mother-in-law and father-in-law came over. It was awesome. Cooked some delicious food. Got to cook with my mother-in-law, which I think she enjoys. So it was a great weekend. But everybody's been sick, you know. I know they have because I'm having to warn everybody. You know, watch out. Sam's got a little cough. Watch out. David's got a little sore throat or whatever it is. But yesterday or night before last, I was laying in bed. I'm like, yeah, my throat feels a little sore. Yeah. But enough of that. It is Tuesday. Went to a meeting last night. Awesome meeting. You know, I've shared before the meetings, you know, the Monday night meeting I go to is a step meeting. And I like that. I like that for this, right? I like that for this situation. Is it the most important thing in my life? I don't know. But I enjoy the fact that one of the meetings that I go to on a regular basis is a step meeting because it allows me to be and sit and read and listen to a step every week. And this week was on the third step, obviously, since last week was on the second, right? That makes sense. You know, last week was, you know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, and then the step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I love it, right? I love it. This is kind of one of those tough spots, though, because now we're starting to get into God and higher power and spiritual awakening kind of stuff. And now it starts to get, at least for me, it started to get a little, you know, one of the more interesting things is that you hear conversation about situations, right? Like, oh, like I hear those people there do this, right? I hear those people there do that. And then when you show up and then it starts to kind of come to fruition, or at least you think it starts to come to fruition, which is what I started to think at this moment when I first came to this program is like, oh, here comes the religion part. Here comes the part that I'm not going to want to do. Yourself up off the floor. Love that. A little Tesla. But yeah, so, you know, the fact is that it was on the third step and he made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And, you know, this is, it doesn't have to be. I mean, I'm only going to share how this sort of thing worked out or works out in my life. You know, I think it's everybody's adventure. I can't explain or share or, you know, there's no short cut, right? There's no quick and easy way to kind of do this. This is sort of like came to believe, right? It's just a one day at a time sort of thing that we have to stay in the moment. And over time, we start to find some sort of peace or at least a path to move forward. Because honestly, when you say that, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him, I don't know what the heck that really means, right? I don't know what that, made a decision to turn, it's like almost like this physical thing I have to do. I can't tell, at this point, early on in sobriety, I can't tell what my problem is, so it's hard for me to understand what I'm changing. You know, I've been doing and behaving and acting and living the way that I have for so long that it's hard for me to understand the changes that I have to make, right? But having done all that, having experienced this for a while, having worked these steps a few times, one of the things that, for me, that I look back on today is the changes, and it can be, and I shared this in the meeting, for me it's very simple. It is the ability to say, that I get to, right? Up until this point in my life, I've had to. And I've shared this before in another podcast. This was a, you know, I started to understand a little bit more of this or started to recognize me not doing this and starting to recognize how much I should be doing this when my mom died. And, you know, when my dad needed me at the most and I, you know, was it available to be there for him? You know, that would have been a great opportunity for me to have to take care of my father. I have to take care of my father. I have to go over and check on him. I have to feed him. You know, I get to. If I'm living in a life of have to, I'm a victim. Right? All the decisions that I've seemed to, most of the decisions I seem to have made up until this point have been based on fear. So what's my fear about not taking care of my dad? I've shared on this podcast before, one of the big fears that I have is that my father passes away on a couch by himself and sits there for a while. Right? I don't know why that is. I mean, I guess, you know, I want him to pass and have dignity and I want to be, we want to be proud of him, and we want him to be able to, you know, we don't want, you hear of people that die, and, you know, Lane Staley, the good singer for oh my God, whatever the band is, Lane Staley, right? He died, and I think he was dead for a couple weeks before they found him. Oh my God, you know, who wants that? That's what I don't want. And so my fear that I have is if my dad passes away and he sits or he's, wherever he's at for more than a, you know, half an hour, you know, I get to check on my dad every day. I like to call him every day, just check in on him, finding a place, you know, not a spot where I'm, because we've gotten to that point. He's like, you're always bugging me, right? I can overdo it. So trying to give him enough space, but still, you know, being able to give him a call and make sure he's doing all right. But I don't want him, you know, I want him to have to one day, and he does not look like he'll be passing anytime soon. My dad's doing really well. But I want, when he does, I want him to be, have dignity, right? And, but, you know, there's this time up until this point, I've had to do everything. You know, I think I shared the other day. I did not realize how much of my life is based on decisions made out of fear. I also didn't understand that when I do make decisions out of fear, that I become, for me, in the more of the victim line, right? Let's say we got two lines. We got the humble line and we got the victim line. We got the, I love you, I'm doing things, and then we got the, I want, I take line. Yeah. And that line, when I have to do something, when I have to go to school, when I have to ride the bus, when I have to be here, I'm a victim. I mean, I'm not really. I'm not, you know, I'm not laying on the ground. Ugh. But it changes my attitude. It changes my spiritual being. I'm inconvenienced. I become arrogant. It's all for me a shift in my mind. You know, a little test is, see how many times you say, I have to. Where are you going? I have to get to work. I get to get to work. What are you doing? I have a client. I get to have a client. As soon as you, or as soon as I started to understand, recognize, and take that position, it changed everything. And I don't mean like it changed the way I walk or the way I talk, but it changed the way I thought. And it started to make me understand. I started to come to believe, right? I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And what that means to me is now I recognize as everything is a gift. I get to. You know, I get to be there for my dad. I get to come to work. I get to provide for my family. This is my choice. With no consequences. It's a big deal, and I've spent a big portion of my life having to do a lot of shit and not even understanding how that really worked. Not understanding that, you know, we're going through this right now with my son in college trying to figure out. Part of me is like, how can you make a decision on what school and what you want to do on your life right now? I remember I had no clue. But I also remember I was scared that my parents would be disappointed in me. I was also scared that, you know, I wasn't going to amount to much. I was also scared that maybe other people would think weird of me. So I went and made decisions out of fear. I had to. I had to pick what I wanted to do in school. I had to go to college. That's what everybody was doing. And I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. Today, I sit inside a business doing something that I did not go to school for. After this, I will be in a business that I will do. I did go to school for hair, but, and even, you know, part of me is like, hair saved the day. Doing hair is exactly what I wanted to do. No, that decision was made out of fear as well. Because I really didn't have any, you know, I'd put, you know, 10 years into the golf course industry. I'd gotten a degree in turf management. I'd really put all my chips in. So 10 years later to be like, I don't want to do this. This is like, again, Tom. We're going to do this again. And yeah, I was doing it again. And I'm like, how come my life has been that way? How come I've always had so many bad, wrong choices? So many of them were made in fear. You know, even getting sober. I shared this a couple weeks ago. You know, I wish I could say that I woke up one day and just had enough, but I had not. I woke up one day and the same old shit. You drink too much. Let's not drink today. Maybe we'll try beer, have a beer. Let's try vodka. Let's get crazy. Same shit, same story, repeat. Every freaking day. And, you know, so, but, you know, when I'm living in that life, you know, coming out of, you know, first thing I got to do was get sober. And then I'm like, I want to make a big career change. You know, what's my, the other, that was an interesting thing, because when I decided to go into the golf course industry, I mean, maybe I could, it could boil down to some sort of fear. But I really liked the guy that I worked for, my buddy Eddie, and I was very impressed. And I think as much as I guess if I boiled it down all the way down, maybe I thought that he wouldn't like me. But I liked how Eddie rolled, right? I liked his job. I liked the way he worked. I liked the way he handled people. I wanted to be like Eddie. Eddie was inspiring to me. The problem with Eddie is that he's a pretty big guy, and he's a pretty tough guy, and he sort of demands people to respect him. I'm not that guy. I mean, I had no problem. I definitely had people's respect. I think if you show up to work, you're not drinking and drugging, you come to work on time and you're a fair person, most people will respect you. If you're not doing that, you're probably not well respected, right? So the point is, I'm not sure that decision was made out of fear. I think it was made out of pride and ego. You know, I can remember decisions, making decisions in my life where I felt like it raised me up, right? I remember when I started doing BMX, I wanted to impress my friend Danny, right? I mean, I'm sure there's a little fear in there. I'm a little fear that he won't like me. I want to fit in. I want to be part of his crew. So I think it's a little of both. But definitely, you know, college, school, all that stuff was all based on fear. You know, my parents are going to be upset. What am I going to do? I can't. How come everybody else has it figured out and I don't? And so now, dealing with my son trying to figure it out, I'm like, dude, how can you even know what you want to do, right? But who am I to tell him that? Who am I? I got to check the time. Apologies. Went a little long the other day. Wow, 40-something minutes. I was like, oof. I went back and listened to it. I could tell those last 12 minutes were painful. I'm like, why talk so long? Why? But yeah, so that made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. For me, you know, and I've worked this step a few times, and to me, this is when I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. You know, my buddy, you know, and as we get farther into these steps, you know, like the seventh step, you know, humbly asked, and the shortcomings, and you know, that's where my buddy Matt says, you know, these are the steps we stop stealing the Wawa sugar packets. You know, I shared before the, you know, my relationship with my sponsor, and how I thought he was just so cool, right, and how I would behave around him, and how I would behave when I wasn't around him, and so that helped me when I started to try to live my life under the influence of a higher power. Just sort of like that became, you know, that people say you can use the group, right? The problem is a lot of times with the group, you act differently with the group than when you're without the group. And that's sort of what had happened when I was, you know, with my buddy Matt. You know, I would drive over to his house in one way, and then once he got in my car, I would, you know, pop up in my seat and act a little differently, like I was living this life all the time. And but it, you know, this is where it sort of starts, right? This is where, when I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of a God or a higher power, you know, this is the time where I have to start. I don't think that we're born like this, right? I think for me, at least, it was, these are all habits, just negative thoughts, negative behavior over and over. And I think and I also don't. I don't think I ever understood the fact that how much fear-based stuff is in my life. It's all. I mean, this is just like in the last couple few months I started recognizing this. It's like, wow. And even like I said, I was going to say about hair. I was in fear at the end. I had done the golf course. I had quit. I was really I put a lot of my pushed my chips in on a landscaping business, which I ended up hating too, out of fear. I was really at a point where I didn't have a lot of options. So when I decided to go into the hair industry, yeah, it was fear based too. But I like this one, right? And it's obvious that a lot of decisions we make are out of fear, or probably wouldn't make them. So I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad for me. I'm just saying I have to understand it when I start making this decision to turn my will in my life. Because if my life is living in fear and negative and in that place, that is not a higher power or something like that, I guess. You know, I like to say, we're either heading towards something or away from something. And I like to feel like I'm heading towards something, a better relationship with the higher power, serenity, humility. If I'm living and if I'm heading in that direction, I feel like it helps propel me towards that direction if I try to live in a more positive way. Like I get to, right? I get to do this. But if I am a person that is moving away from that, I'm trying to separate myself from sobriety and people doing well, and I want to get back into it, I start to become a person that has to do these things again. I have to. I'm a victim. And, you know, like I just said, victims never get better. What does that even mean, victims never get better? Because we can't let go. You know, it starts talking about willingness, right? Surrender. You know, you talk to somebody that isn't willing, that isn't surrendering, isn't finding humility, and you would think that they were fucking in a battle, you know, with this. Talk to somebody that goes and, you know, that gets a DUI. And all the shit that they have to do when they get a DUI from going to these classes, from, you know, I forget. I know that I had an outpatient recovery class. I think we had to meet. It was a couple little classes and a little probation. But at the time, I was like, I have to do this. Just fucking, you know, like it's their fault. Like zero accountability. I did nothing wrong. I just got caught. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Got caught by an asshole. Fucking asshole, right? Because I wasn't heading towards sobriety. I was headed to more drinking. And I did drink more. I drank during the class. Tell me I have to quit. I have to refrain from drinking. You ain't telling me that. That's how fucked up I was. I'm going to ask that all the people that are participating in this class refrain from drinking during this class. I'm like, I don't have to quit. I don't have to. I'm 21. I can do whatever I want. And I drank during the class, and she made me come 4 more weeks. My mother was pissed. So I guess it's really where you want to go, right? I guess it's really where we want to go. I know that I don't want to drink any alcohol, right? But I also don't want to have to do anything anymore. You know, I get to do this podcast. I get to go cut people's hair. I get to be a father. I get to be sober. I do not have to be sober. Now, if I want to have a life, or if I want to have the life that I've become accustomed to, I probably have to be sober. But I'm not even there. I get to be sober. I love to be sober. You know, this is so much more to me than not drinking. You know, it's like these things. You know, this moment. You know, and this really, like I shared, was with my dad. It was a sort of, you know, my dad, I think that there, we all have challenges. I know we all have challenges, right, with our parents. I don't know why, I see everybody. All the people in my life, these interesting relationships with their parents, good, bad, whatever, it's all fine, but it's a challenge. And, you know, I had to make a decision. I had to make several decisions when it came to, you know, being there for my dad. The first surrendering was that I had to tell him that I didn't want to fight anymore because him and I fought a lot, argued, picked at each other. I don't understand why. I love my boys and daughter. I do not pick at them. I do not try to aggravate him. I try to be fun. We try to have fun. I notice sometimes, like, I'll go too far. I'll push it. I'm like, what are you doing that for? You're going to hurt your child's feelings, right? You know, just razzing him. Just razzing him. My dad and I always fought. Just never had a great relationship. Decent relationship now. We have fun. But he's still, I personally feel like my dad doesn't really like me. He'll say that he does, right? I love him. But we're not the same type of people. Completely different. So, you know what? It's a real a good opportunity to fight it out with him. And we used to. And I said, I don't want to fight with you anymore. You know, mom, this one, my mom was still alive. And this was I had made a decision that this wasn't the life that I wanted to live. You know, my mom, this was prior to her, you know, going blind and all the shit that happened to her there during the pandemic. But, you know, prior to that, you know, everybody, for the most part, were pretty normal, right? This is prior to the pandemic. This is, you know, everybody's pretty good. And we had, you know, had a few arguments, and I've made a decision. I said, you know, I don't want to fight. And then after that, we had made that decision. You know, we used to bring, we would come over on every Sunday, me and the kids and, you know, my wife, and we would go over every Sunday and we would make pancakes and bacon and all sorts of food for my mom. I guess now that I think about it, she was starting we had done this for a while, and then the pandemic, and then she had gone blind. So we even did this while she went blind. Because I remember, here's your pancakes, here on the right, mom, you know. But my God, if we hadn't done that, we got to spend so much great time. The kids got to spend so much great time with my mother, my father, my parents, and no arguments. We did that for probably a couple years, right? We probably did that for a couple years. Came over every Sunday, the kids, got to spend time with Grandma Jean and Pop-Pop. And, you know, I spent... The relationship I had with my grandparents was zero to none. My grandparents didn't... My Delaware grandparents, I don't think, even liked us. Didn't even like us. We were adopted. We were adopted. And they didn't... They looked down upon us. Right? My uncle, he's still a fucking... He still is that way. They stopped inviting us over for Christmas because they believed that my dad and mom shouldn't have adopted us. So we didn't really have a relationship with them. So, you know, we're not going to repeat that, you know. And so the point is that it was just, you know, this was an opportunity to surrender. And luckily I did, because we got to spend a lot of great time with my mom. And my dad, before she passed, and we get to have, you know, my dad comes over a few times a week, which is amazing. All right, let me read something real quick and see if we can, let's not go 42 minutes. Oh, my goodness. Before I start having to blow my nose. All right, here we go. What the hell? Oh. What am I looking for here? Daily reflections. Daily reflections. Sorry, I have the hardest time typing on my phone now. It's like so annoying. I need to get a bigger phone, I guess. All right, daily reflections. A Path to Faith, February the 7th. True humility and an open mind can lead us to faith. True humility and an open mind can lead us to faith. And every A meeting is an assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to Him. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 33. My last drunk had landed me in the hospital, totally broken. It was then that I was able to see my past float in front of me. I realized that through drinking, I had lived every nightmare I had ever had. My own self-will and obsession to drink had driven me into a dark pit of hallucinations, blackouts and despair. Finally beaten, I asked for God's help. His presence told me to believe. My obsession for alcohol was taken away, and my paranoia has since been lifted. I am no longer afraid. I know my life is healthy and sane. What are we afraid of? You know, what am I... I had a client, he was so afraid to die. And I'm like, what is he so afraid of? You know, I think about today and my relationship with the higher power and who I feel like I am and what, you know, my being is. I'm not afraid to die. You know, I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid to. I think it's going to be awesome. I think something else is out there for us, and it'll be fantastic. You know, have I lived a perfect life? No. But I've lived a pretty good one, and I'm definitely starting to recognize how I can even live a better one. And it's making simple decisions like that, right? You know, if you're on this step or you're thinking about this kind of thing, or this is something that, you know, you've become a victim to, is having to do so many things, you know, if you can, if you want to, if you think about it, you know, every time you say I have to, you know, replace it with I get to, and see if that starts to change the narrative. You know, there are so many things that we get to do, and when we get to do something, it changes our whole attitude and perspective, and, you know, it's really a blessing. But when we have to, we become a victim and become miserable, and I feel like we're not headed towards sobriety. We're headed towards something else. So I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks. I get to share. I appreciate it. I get to do this. Thank you so much, and have a great day.